If you have your Bibles, then you should turn them to the book of Exodus. I want to continue my message on cultivating awareness of God's presence. And if the Lord, if it's His will, we'll conclude this morning on that. But I want you to understand some things, how important it is to understand God's presence and where we're at, where He's at. So in Exodus chapter 3, beginning at verse number 1, if you would stand for the reading of God's word. The Bible says, "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb." Notice, he led the flock to the backside of the desert. How many's ever felt like you've been on the backside of the desert? Think about that, on the backside of the desert. "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked and beheld, and the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt." Heavenly Father, I ask you, Lord, to send the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, to come down and touch the hearts and the lives of your people. I pray that you'll anoint our ears to hear, our hearts to receive. And let the Holy Ghost, Lord, captivate our thought process as we look into the Word of God. And let your name be glorified. And let our souls be made preparation to leave this world. We ask these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. So Moses was taking care of his father-in-law's sheep on the backside of the desert. Now, first off, I want to ask you, I've asked you, I think, the last two Sundays, but I want to ask you again, very, very pointed, as we cultivate an awareness of God's presence, okay, have you got that? Cultivating an awareness of God's presence. Let me ask you first off, what helps you pay attention to God? What is it in your life? What do you do in your everyday life, on your job, at home, at church? What is it that helps you pay the most attention to God? Then on the other hand, what is it that hinders you from paying attention to God? What is it that obstructs your vision, obstructs your hearing, obstructs your awareness of God's presence? What is it that keeps you from being in tune with God 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? Now some of us can't hardly grasp that we can stay in that mode of God's presence 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and we can't have no fun. That's not it at all. That's not it at all. While you're thinking about that, let me tell you that paying attention for some of us at any level is a struggle. Hello? I said paying attention for any of us is a struggle at times, if not all the time. But paying attention to God is demanding, and it's critical. Don't shout me down while I'm preaching good, okay? Stay with me. I want to help you. How many want some help? The rest of you just here for the ride, I guess. We need to draw closer to God. We need to be aware. Listen, if that spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is not inside of you, you're not going to leave this world. Because He plainly said that same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead will quicken these mortal bodies. You're not going to just naturally hear the trumpet sound. You may see people leave around you, but you're not going to naturally hear. You've got to be in tune with God to hear that trumpet sound. So paying attention to God is very demanding. The task of paying attention to God and being aware of His presence. Are you listening? Look at your neighbor and shake them. Say, listen, listen, listen up. The task of paying attention to God and being aware of His presence can only be achieved when we gain freedom from our self self-importance and our self-concern. That's a powerful statement. I said, that's a powerful statement. You say, well, I don't quite understand it. I'm going to explain it to you. The task of paying attention to God and being aware of His presence can only be achieved when we gain freedom from self-importance and self-concern. So how do we do that? Proverbs chapter 3 verses 5 and 6 tells us, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. In all your ways, no matter what you're doing, no matter what's going on, trust in the Lord and look to Him, because He will guide and direct your path. When we stop to think about the biblical reality of God's presence, the Trinity being omnipresent, that's being everywhere all at the same time, when we think about that reality, it's not a question of us finding Him. Our objective is to be sensitive and aware of His presence that is already around us. How many is Pentecost? Okay. Those of you that are Pentecost, will you help me preach for just a little bit? Okay. It just makes me feel a little better. And I'm trying to make you feel better, so help me feel better. Okay. It's not that we're trying to find Him. He ain't lost. Okay? Our objective is to be sensitive and aware of His presence that's already around us. In our text today that I read to you, Moses gives us some illustrations of what that awareness may look like and gives us an illustration, an example that we may follow. But before I go there, I want to share a couple of things with you. Can I do that? Hello? Thank you. The first thing that we're taught when someone or when we're working security, Brother Paul, Brother Larry, and I think maybe someone else went with me to Fayetteville one day on the security class for the church. But one of the main things that we're taught, not only there but also in other security classes, is that we have to be aware of our surroundings. Hello? We have to be aware of our surroundings. And I've really tried to practice that over the years. Just to whet your appetite a little bit. When I was in Montana, Sister Diane and I was a few weeks ago. And I often, if not all the time, do this when I'm out in the woods, I'm out in nature, I'm out in even the backyard. I look for things that are not necessarily visible. Are you following me? And when I was up in Montana, as I stood and I gazed and looked at the vast mountainside, as I looked through the trees and past the large rocks, I was training my eyes, listen to me carefully, I was training my eyes to look for the slightest movement of that which was less visible. Being aware of any movement that was not necessarily obvious, but could only be seen, listen, but could only be seen by becoming intently aware of my surroundings. Listen, it does not mean that God's not there. He is with you, around you, beside you, above you, beneath you, every second of every day. But I want to explain to you what hinders that sometimes. It's not that He's not there. It's we are so busy, we become less aware. Hello? I look for those things that are not necessarily just obvious, because I want to become intently aware of my surroundings. And church, that's exactly the way it is, being aware of God's presence. It's not that He's not there. It's just a lot of times we're not aware of Him being there. So let's look at Moses and the scripture that we read. Let's look just a little bit closer and a little bit deeper of what Moses experienced and the lessons that we can learn from him. First, Moses recognized the unusual nature of this bush. Correct? He looked at the unusual nature of what, not only the bush, but what was happening or wasn't happening to the bush. I want you to understand something. Get a hold of this. Understand that many, many, many times God does not do things like we think He's going to do them. He does them in unusual ways. That's why it's so important that we're keenly aware of His presence, which we do not recognize what God is doing when He does things in an unusual way unless we're paying very close attention. That's the first thing. That's the first thing that Moses recognized, that there was something unusual that was happening. Number two, his experience happened while he was at work. Hello? God didn't move when he was at church. God didn't move on Moses when he was at a prayer meeting. Moses was at work. Not only was he at work, he was on the backside of the desert. I don't know about you, but when I get a vision in my mind of the backside of the desert, it ain't pretty. But he was on the backside of the desert, at work, just punched the time clock, and God moves. Ain't that something? I mean, that's something that God moves. So he was at work. Moses wasn't engaged in Bible study. He wasn't engaged in worship service. He wasn't even doing something spiritual. He was doing business for his father-in-law, taking care of the sheep. Now understand that if we are tentative and aware of God's presence, everything we do is spiritual. Unless we're doing things we shouldn't do. And then you're not sensitive to His presence. Because everything you do, He's there. And we can allow our spirit man to be so sensitive to everything that God is doing around about us. Everything we do can be spiritual. That does not mean, church, as I mentioned a while ago, that we can't enjoy life. Hey, I could have prepared a message and I could have preached hellfire and brimstone to you, or I could have preached till my face turned red and my eyes popped out. But I want to instruct you, when I get to that point, you'll have church with me. And this is a part of having church with us. That when and together, so we understand and we are aware of God's presence, whether it's in church, whether it's at work, whether we're out playing, no matter what it is, we are aware of God's presence. And it does not mean when we are 24/7 aware of God's presence that we can't have fun. But even in that, we recognize God's goodness and His awesomeness. We must consistently be conscientious that our triune God continues to dwell with us 24/7. I want you to know, when I was out fishing in the Bitterroot River, I felt spiritual. I just want you to know that was a spiritual movement. To see all that God created, see all that He had done. Knowing that the disciples realized it was important to go fishing. That was the second thing that Moses recognized. He was at work. The third thing that Moses experienced tells us that he did not ignore what he saw or assume that his eyes was playing tricks on him. Listen, this is so vitally important for what God has for you. You know why you need to be aware of God's presence? Because God has something for you. I said, God's got something for you. And if we're not aware of God's presence, you may miss it. Because He ain't going to knock you over the head. It's your job to be aware of Him. He's constantly aware of you. Hello. So Moses didn't just assume or ignore or think his eyes was playing tricks on him. Instead, listen, he walked toward the burning bush to see more clearly what had caught his attention. Are we paying attention? Are we listening? It's not enough. It's not enough to just be aware of God's presence. We've got to act on it. Hello? I know it may be terribly quiet, and from this point on, I'm all right with that because I'm feeling God's presence and spirit in my heart and soul. And I'm praying the Holy Ghost is doing a work in your heart and your life. So it's not just enough to be aware of God's presence. You got to act on it. Moses acted. He was on the backside of the desert. He seen something unusual. He went to see what it was. He acted on it. He acted on it. And you know why we have to act on it? To gain the benefits of observing what God wants us to notice. Hello? We need to observe what God's doing so we can receive what He has for us. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8 says, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Now, some of us would think, how are we going to pay attention to the devil when we're trying to pay attention to God? How many would ask that question? If you pay attention to God, the spirit inside of you will pay attention to the devil. When we are sober spiritually, when we're spiritually sober, he's not talking about necessarily the alcohol of this world, which will pervert you, your life and your mind anyway, but he's talking about the things of this world that will make you drunk and that will overtake you and will keep you from being aware of God's presence. So Peter's saying, be sober, be vigilant, be alert, pay attention. Look at your neighbor and say, pay attention. We will understand the devil's tactics, but we'll be more aware to combat his plans and his tactics when we become totally aware of God's presence. Totally aware of God's presence. Listen. When you are aware of God's presence and the blood has been applied to your heart, your life, and your mind, the devil cannot cross that bloodline. Ain't no way. Amen. To be aware of God's presence just part of the time is not God's design plan for you. If you're only aware of God's presence when you come to church, you're missing out on a whole lot of stuff. If you're just aware of God's presence when you're listening to KLRC or other Christian music, if that's the only time you're aware of God's presence, you're missing out. Is on the backside of the desert, all by himself, that he recognized what God was doing. It is not God's design for you just to be a part-timer. Hello? Look at that one sitting close by you again and said, you're not just a part-timer in this. Hello? Come on, somebody. Let's participate. You're not a part-timer in this. It's a full-timer. It's a full-time position. It's God's desire for us to cultivate a practice of being habitually aware of His presence as He interacts in our lives. Can I say that again? It's God's design, and it's His desire for us to cultivate a practice of being habitually aware of His presence and as He interacts in our lives. Listen, the Word of God may require of me and you to do something today that He did not ask us to do yesterday. So we must be keenly aware. And my last point, as we look at Moses' example of what he done, there's also a great example that I want us to look at from Mary and Martha's point of view. Because Mary gives us another example of how we should notice the presence of Jesus. Listen, this is good. Listen to this. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went, and he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha, somebody say Martha, received him into the house. And she had a sister named called Mary, somebody say Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she may help me. Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen the good part which shall not be taken away from her. Now, let me clarify some things right here as I get into this final point. Just because we need to be aware of God's presence, and just because Martha was somewhat reprimanded by Jesus, even though he knew that there was some things that she needed to take care of, does not exclude you wives from taking care of the home. You can feel the presence of Jesus doing the laundry. You can feel the presence of Jesus making the bed, vacuuming the floors. And men, just because we need to be aware of God's presence does not mean you don't need to mow the yard and take out the trash. You ladies say amen. Everything you do can be a spiritual encounter. And the Lord is not telling Martha that she doesn't need to take care of things. There's just a point in the time to do it. Hello? And if heaven comes down while you're doing the laundry, then forget the laundry till you connect with heaven. Martha had invited Jesus and his disciples to dinner. It was Martha that done the invitation. And although Martha's intentions of hospitality was good, listen, she became distracted and focused on her preparations rather than Jesus. She invited Jesus. How many times do we come to the house of God and we're singing praises and we invite Jesus into our presence, which He's already there anyway, and then we start thinking about what we should have got done yesterday or what we've got to do tomorrow, school starting tomorrow, man, I've got so many things to do. And while we're in the presence of Jesus, while we have gone into the presence of Jesus, we become preoccupied. We become encumbered by all the other stuff. She become distracted and focused on her preparations rather than Jesus. We see Mary's response to Jesus' presence was different. As she sat at his feet, listening to every word he had to say, listen carefully, Mary postured herself in the presence of God. Mary postured herself to receive every word that Jesus was saying. Let me emphasize that again. She postured herself, sitting at his feet, being receptive to his will in her life. We can come to the house of God. We can sing the praises. We know the words, we know the actions, we know what we're supposed to do, and we can be so far away from God's presence. We have to be engaged. You got to be engaged. You got to posture yourself to receive the presence of God, to receive His anointing, to receive His touch. Like so many of us, we're human. Man, you got to practice this. You got to put this into action. You got to do this. And like so many of us, Martha's preparation to get stuff done and her anxiety. Hello? Her anxiety about those preparations prevented her from enjoying the presence of Jesus. He was there. But wanting to try to get everything else done, she missed enjoying the presence of God. When you really break it down to what Jesus said in verse 42, few things are needed. There's things that you got to get done, right? You got to get up, you got to go to work, you got to come home, mow the yard, do the laundry. There are many things that are needed, but there's only one thing that's really important. Listen, I'll just be transparent here for a while. As a pastor, I have found myself so engulfed in ministry that I missed God's presence. Say, how in the world do you do that? It's easy. You get so involved in preparations. You get so involved in making sure things are ready for Sunday morning or ready for Sunday night or Wednesday night that you miss the rich presence of God. Few things are needed, but there's only one thing that's really important. And He said, Mary has chosen that which is better. He really was saying, when all things are set aside, He was really saying, there's really only one thing that's worth being concerned about, Martha. And Mary just discovered it. And I am not going to take that away from her. She has realized what was really important in her life. Chris, would you and Tammy come to the piano, please? Perhaps, church, perhaps too many times, we are like Martha. And in our frantic, how many knows we live in a frantic, fast-paced world? It has radically reduced our awareness of Jesus. Come on. I'm telling you, in our frantic, fast-paced world, and with all the confusion and all the fear that's in our world today, which is not of God, it has drastically reduced our awareness of Jesus. Even though He is plainly among us, Martha missed the true needs and desires that Jesus had on His visit. When He accepted the invitation to come to Mary and Martha's house and Lazarus's house, His intention was to have fellowship. His intention was for them to smell the aroma of His presence. In all of our activities, church, let us learn to be conscientiously aware of God's presence. Can you close your eyes for just a moment? Tell the Lord, from this moment forward, no matter if I'm on my job, no matter if I'm at work, no matter if I'm driving down the highway, I'm going to be consciously aware of Your presence. Lord, I'm going to see what others may not see. I'm going to hear what others may not hear. One can feel close and consciously aware God's presence while we're in the sanctuary, but miss the fact that He leaves with us and He is an ever-present helper. When you leave, He's going with you. So the anxiety, the fact fast-paced world, the fear that we feel, Jesus is giving these words of exhortation today, found in the book of Psalms, chapter 55, verse 22, cast all your cares upon the Lord, and He shall sustain you. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. That's being aware of God's presence. That every moment of every hour of every day, we can cast all of our burdens upon Him, and He will sustain you. He will keep you. He will never, ever suffer the righteous to be moved. Heavenly Father, I thank You, oh God, for Your presence and that You're with us no matter when, what, where, how. And I pray today, right now, Lord, that this word will come alive in our heart and our life. And Lord, in the absence of us perceiving Your presence, let the Holy Ghost flip on a switch in our life. And let us be keenly aware, Lord, what You're doing. Touch Your people. Minister to them right now in the name of Jesus.